Okay, so I'm gonna, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking this interview today. I want to know if I have your permission to record this interview to enter into our archive and to use as a part of our exhibit for Beauty Beneath the Black Project.
Yes.
Okay, so the Beauty Beneath the Black Project is a project that tries to catalog some of the experiences of West Baltimore, especially Penn Avenue corridor, from about the 1930s until the late 1960s, so that we can express some of those things that really built up Baltimore and West Baltimore before the blight came in heavily. So
Okay.
I would love to ask you some questions about your experiences and some of your perspectives. If it's not too much of a bother, if you don't mind turning off any background sounds because it is coming into the recording.
Oh, let me turn the TV down. Now, remember, I was born in 58, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah, so you would have a perspective of a child growing up in that area and any anecdotes or stories that you have from family that you would like to share. Formal introduction, I am Bintu Kuyate, cohort 2020 member of the Urban Arts Leadership, which is a program under Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance led by Kabidia Janku, the Equity and Inclusion Director. This project is being sponsored by the National Endowment for the Art, and it's also being partnered with Library of Congress and Smithsonian Center for Folklife and Cultural Heritage. This project is being partnered with those two entities as well. And today is Monday, April the 6th at 6:20 p.m. Yes, I forgot the time on the other one. So I'm here with, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Brenda. The last name is Brown. And I was born and raised in Baltimore. Born and raised in Baltimore. My parents, well, my mom and my dad both, my mom lived and my dad lives in Baltimore, even though he is originally from Alabama. But at a young age, he himself moved to Baltimore. To find work. Okay. Anything else?
Sure. If you want to expound on who you are, your family, how you grew up as a youngster in Baltimore,
Oh,
you can go ahead. And if you want to give your
okay.
parents' names, that's fine. If you prefer not to, it's up to you.
Okay. Well, again, I was born in Baltimore and grew up in Baltimore, went to the public schools in Baltimore, elementary school. I remember my school was called School 200. And I can still see that school today. I don't know if it's still a school now, I'm not really sure. But that was on Willard Street. We lived on Willard Street, Willard and Catherine Street. And after that, I went to LaMelle Junior High School along with my brother. Then, of course, I went to Douglas High School, and that was the school where most blacks went, either Douglas or Dunbar or what else? I think there was another one. I can't think of the other, but there are a few, but primarily Douglas High School. Many blacks went to Douglas High School. And I, graduated from high school, went on to college, and then later on, I taught for 26 years at Morgan State University. I have one son. Of course, he grew up in the Baltimore City school system as well. Well, for a while, and then he went to the School for the Arts, and well, before that, St. Ignatius Loyola Academy, then the School for the Arts, and then he went on to go to school, music school. In Boston, Berklee College of Music. I have two sisters, three brothers. One is deceased. And I just have so many memories of us growing up together. Two of my brothers, of course, well, they have different moms, so we didn't really grow up in the same household. But with my brother and my other two sisters, we all grew up together. And I have, you know, so many memories of us growing up in Baltimore and living on Willard Street. And then after my mom passed away, we lived, in the Murphy Home Projects. So we lived there for a while, and eventually they tore those down, and I was fortunate enough to be able to buy a house in this area where these the public housing units used to be. So I'm kind of still in the same area where I grew up for, you know, at some point. What else would you like to know?
So you said that you grew up, are you the, where in the lineup of your siblings are you?
Out of my mother's children, I am the youngest. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I would say I am the baby. Mm-hmm. Even though my two of my brothers who came after me, they're just a few years younger, but I always say that, well, of course, I grew up as the baby, mm-hmm. which I was always called that. My mom and I, we were very close, mm-hmm. very close, and I watched my mom struggle to take care of us. I remember that very vividly. Mm-hmm. We used to go to the Salvation Army mm-hmm. every Saturday mm-hmm. To get clothing or whatever she needed or we needed. And she would come home with all these, you know, bags, and we says, "Oh my, is this new?" And her answer always was, "It's new to you." Mm-hmm. So as far as we know, we had new stuff. So mm-hmm. she said, "It's new to you." And my mom was a domestic worker. Mm-hmm. And I remember her and she and some other ladies getting this yellow school bus mm-hmm. to go and clean up white people's homes. Mm-hmm. And they would, of course, give her quote-unquote stuff that they didn't want or that they were done using. I remember I went with her one day. I didn't have school, so I went with her. So I was in some white lady's home. I remember the lady's name was Doris, because that's the same name as my mom. Mm-hmm. And myself and this one little white girl, we had a little argument over what is a braid and what is a plait. Mm-hmm. And I know, because, you know, we plait our hair and we call it plaits. And she says, "No, that's a braid." I'm like, "No, that's a plait." Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's, again, a cultural thing. I believe that was a cultural thing. And I remember my mom told us a story about one of the homes she worked in, and it was an old white man who lived there, and when she got there, or went into one of the rooms where he was, she noticed that he had hung himself, mm-hmm. and of course, she got the hell out of there, mm-hmm. and I think she said the white lady was saying something like, get the scissors, or something, and my mom said, "Get S-H-I-T, mm-hmm. and she was out of there, because I know my mom would not put up with stuff like that. So that's the story I remember hearing growing up. To what extent, I don't know if there was any other parts to this, I'm quite sure there were, but I always remember that story my mom telling us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who the person was, but I just know this old white man hung himself, but anyway, she got out of there. Mm-hmm. And let me see, I also remember that when we were growing up, we always had nice shoes, and we always went shopping on Pennsylvania Avenue. Mm-hmm. Always on Pennsylvania Avenue, there was a store called Levy's, mm-hmm. and Levy's sold the best shoes. I mean, really, really good, sturdy shoes. So I always remember having my black patent leather shoes, mm-hmm. which most little black girls wore at that time, you know, your black patent leather shoes, or your little red school shoes. So, and, you know, my mom, she tried really hard. She didn't have, you know, the best job or anything like that. And I don't, from what I remember, I don't think she had the, well, I know she didn't have the best education. I don't think she graduated from high school, but she had little odds and ends jobs here and there. I remember she worked at a liquor store around the corner called Moss's Liquors or whatever. I remember she worked in there. And what else? And then, you know, at one point she got really sick. And I was about 12. And, you know, that's when she passed away. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was 12 years old when she died. Yeah, she always took us to church. I remember watching her shout in church. Mm-hmm. But I think the part that I remember and that I really enjoyed most was watching the choir march down the aisle singing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the most beautiful sight. And this is something you don't really see today. They wore what looked like a cap and gown. You know, the caps they wore, the choir caps, but it looked like a cap and gown. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that that was very beautiful, very sophisticated, and everybody was marching in unison. And I just thought that was a wonderful sight. So I'll never forget those kind of scenes, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember the preacher, Reverend Baynard, and you know, he knew everybody, you know, he knew our family, he knew my mom, my grandmother, aunts and uncles. We all, you know, went to that church. So he's, you know, passed on as well. Mm-hmm. So what else can I add to that? What else would you like to know?
Your mom's name is Doris?
Doris, uh-huh.
Where's she from?
My mom was born in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I know, yeah, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I think we may have had some family on the Eastern Shore. I used to hear that story a lot, but mm-hmm. I think they were all born in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a connection with her parents as well?
Oh yeah. Well, my grandmother. Yeah. I didn't know my grandfather, mm-hmm. Because he passed, I believe, before I was born. Mm-hmm. So, I knew my grandmother. Oh yeah. And she, my mom passed before her, and I could still hear her voice, you know, calling my mom, you know, at the funeral. I can still, you know, hear that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I don't think I've ever shared this story with you, so thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's just a lot of things. And I guess some things you kind of put behind you and you don't really talk about much, you know. I remember when my mom died, we were all at the hospital, and they told us that, you know, she passed away, and, you know, everybody broke down and started crying except me, because I'm saying to myself, this nurse doesn't know what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and I remember I said, Miss, is my mother dead? I remember saying that. Is my mother dead? I don't even know if I said nurse. I may have said, Miss, is my mother dead? And so it took a while before it would settle. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I just couldn't believe, because I just thought that my mom would always be here, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think many people think that. And, you know, we slept together in the same bed, and I used to sleep literally on her back. Mm-hmm. I know she was tired of that, but I did. and then my brother slept beside us, mm-hmm. and he would always take a piece of my mother's hair and twist it, and that's how he put himself to sleep. So I don't even know if she slept, because me on her back and him twisting her hair, I don't even know how she managed, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, so my brother and I, we were very close. I think I told you that before, you know, he passed recently. So, you know, that's still a bummer, you know, but I remember before he died, he says, well, I'm just gonna go be with my mother. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying that.
Mm-hmm. What's your brother's name and when was he born?
His name is Sterling. Mm-hmm. Sterling Brown. Mm-hmm.
And how many years, excuse me, sorry, how many years apart are you two?
Oh, just a year apart. Mm-hmm. Actually, people thought we were twins.
So he was born in 57?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1957.
Wow. And what about your older sister?
My oldest sister was born in 1947. Mm-hmm. And then the one under her was born in 1954. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. Where, you said that your mom used to take you guys to the Salvation Army. Where was the Salvation Army when you would go there on those Saturdays?
From what I remember, everything was in South Baltimore, because mm-hmm. we grew up in South Baltimore. When my mom was living, we lived in South Baltimore on mm-hmm. Berry Street. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So it was somewhere in South Baltimore. I can't remember exactly where, but I do remember there was, oh my goodness, there was a funeral home on the corner. Mm-hmm. And I'd always be down there with the funeral director's wife. She just took a liking to me. I didn't even realize I was in a funeral home, but it didn't matter. But I used to be down there a lot. And it was, oh my God, why can't I think of the name of it? Mr. Rice, Rice's funeral home. Mm-hmm. And the man was no taller than me and you, real bow-legged. Mm-hmm. Very dark skin, had a very light skinned wife, but Mr. Rice, before he died, anybody in my family that passed away, they went to Mr. Rice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he moved to Utah Street, just around the corner from me on Utah Street. Now it's called East Step Brothers. Mm-hmm. So even now, when someone in my family passes away, we all go to East Step Brothers, so we just have like a family. They just know our family, you know? Mm-hmm. They know our family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your family, you said, all went to the same church as well. What church was that?
Shiloh CC, Shiloh Christian Community Church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was growing up, most of us went there, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Baynard was the pastor.
Okay. Is that church still open, and where is it open?
No, they sold it. And that was really strange, because I never knew that you could sell a church. I don't know. It just seemed such an odd thing to me. How you sell a church? But they sold the church, and now it's I know the church very well. I know it. Oh my goodness! I know where it is. I can see it in my mind, but it's a different name now. I have friends who go there, who used to go to Shiloh as well. Mm-hmm. But I remember when they sold the church, a lot of people, you know, friends and all who went there, they were very, even to this day, mm-hmm. there are people who are still very angry with them for not just selling the church, but moving the church from there to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I know the person's name. I don't know why. I didn't know you were going to ask me this, but I know the person. Well, I can see it now. Mm-hmm. Shuck, you're going to make me look this up, man. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the church.
Take your time.
But,
it's okay.
It's over there near Beachfield, but okay. I don't know if you would know, since you're not really.
Well, Beachfield is near where I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the church? I don't think it's still called Shiloh. But anyway, yeah, but I have to think of that later, if I can give it to you later on.
No problem.
But yeah, but I still know people today, you know, my contemporaries who are still upset mm-hmm. about them, you know, selling the church and moving the church. And I always wonder what happened to that big picture. Mm-hmm. That was in the vestibule of a Reverend Baynard. I always wondered what happened to that picture, but I don't know if it's in the new church or not. I'm not really sure, mm-hmm. but I know I can find out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your mom's birth date?
I didn't hear you.
Do you have your mom's birth date?
Uh-huh, January 5th, 1929.
Mm-hmm. And what about your father?
Mm-hmm. His birthday?
Mm-hmm. His name and birthday.
October 27th. And it could be 1931 or it could be 1932.
Okay.
We kind of use both dates. Mm-hmm. But I really think it's 1931 because mm-hmm. I got his birth certificate from Alabama. Mm-hmm. But I remember he said when it came to Baltimore, he was trying to get a job, so he kind of changed his birth date, trying to change his age or something. Mm-hmm. And he says, nah, he don't even remember. Mm-hmm. He's 88 now. Mm-hmm. But it's, I believe it's 1931.
Mm-hmm. And what's your dad's name?
His name is S.B. Brown.
Okay.
The letter S, the letter B, and the last name is Brown. Wow. And every time I take him to the doctors, which I do all the time, mm-hmm. everybody asks me, what are those initials? I say, it's S.B. Brown.
Wow.
But down in the South, many people got initials like C.J. and B.J. He was S.B., you know, things mm-hmm. like that. People just had like initials for their names, so mm-hmm. that was his name, S.B. Brown. But then my brother was named Sterling Brown, mm-hmm. so he had his initials.
Mm-hmm. And then what about you say your father came up to Baltimore looking for work? What did he end up mm-hmm. finding when he came up here? What did Baltimore have to offer?
I didn't hear you.
I said, what did he end up finding when he came up here? What did he find in Baltimore for him?
He worked at Chesapeake Paper Factory. Mm-hmm. That's the only job I've ever known my dad to have.
Wow.
Chesapeake Paper Company, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they eventually closed down, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's the only job I ever remember my dad having. Mm-hmm. And he worked religiously, always went to work, took him forever to retire. Mm-hmm. Even now he talks about how, you know, he missed his friends, you know, they used to work with, but I think a lot of them had passed on. Mm-hmm. But he said how he missed his buddies that he used to work with. But I remember he brought us home a lot of toilet paper and mm-hmm. books, tissues, sanitary napkins, you mm-hmm. name it, anything, all kinds of stuff. So, yep, Chesapeake Paper Company. Mm-hmm. That's the only job I've ever known him to have.
Wow. You said he worked there a long time?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think a good, I'm not sure, but at least 40 or 50 years, I think. I'm not really wow. sure, but so I kind of think so, because that's the only job I ever remember him having. Mm-hmm.
And so, growing up, you said you guys would go on Pennsylvania Avenue to do your shopping. What other things did you experience as a kid growing up in Baltimore?
I remember, you know, my mom going out Christmas shopping for us, and she was trying to sneak out toys in the next door neighbor's house, and we caught her and, you know, taking out Christmas toys in there. Mm-hmm. And I just remember growing up, my mom was the type, if she's in the house or if she's ready to go to bed, we had to be in the house. Mm-hmm. So I do remember that. And I can remember my mom used to be inside, and, you know, it could be 7 o'clock. If she's ready to go to bed, we got to come in the house. Mm-hmm. And, I can remember us inside in the window looking at our friends outside playing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't come out. And because I know when it got dark, mm-hmm. you had to be on your steps. Mm-hmm. You had to be on the steps when it got dark. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. And one thing, Bentu, I know I will never forget, and anybody my age or older can testify to this, but every night, the news reporter, whoever he was, would come on TV mm-hmm. and say, it's now 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Do you know where your children are?
Wow.
I would never, ask your mom, ask anybody, if they're over 50 or 60 or whatever, I'm telling you, they will know that. I will never forget that. And we only had three channels, mm-hmm. channel 2, mm-hmm. channel 13, and channel 11. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And I remember one station was called CBS. Mm-hmm. And we always said that stood for Cassandra, Brenda, and Sterling. That was my sister and my brother and me. Mm-hmm. So CBS, yeah, Cassandra, Brenda, and Sterling. But that was one of the, you know, main stations. And So that, you know, every night, and then after that, Bintu, once the news reporter said that, all you heard was, and TV went off until 6 o'clock the next morning. So it wasn't no staying up all night watching TV, all this crap we have now. Mm-hmm. You didn't have like 1,001 channels to choose from. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And so TV went off at 11 o'clock mm-hmm. and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was literally it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were some... I'm listening.
No, and I said, I know, you know, my brother and I, we always had to go to bed early. My older sister, she could stay up a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Well, my sister next to me, the older sister, she had moved to Germany. Mm-hmm. Her husband was in the service. Mm-hmm. But my older sister, well, the one next to me, she could stay up a little longer. And I used to always hear her out in the living room. Watching Carol Burnett. You know the Carol Burnett show?
I heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, see, you all know nothing about that. And so I used to always hear her laughing in the living room watching Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm. And she's a funny lady. Oh, my God, that was one of the best shows. But yeah, so, you know, we had to be in the bed, you know, my brother and I. So, I just have, you know, very good memories of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What kind of events did your family get together for when you were young?
Well, you know, we would go to church, we would maybe go to visit other family members and things like that, but I don't remember us, like, taking any trips anywhere. We didn't have a car. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, like, any family road trips. I don't remember anything like that. Mm-hmm. It could have been if it was. I just don't remember. But I just remember, you know, going to school every day, coming home, being with friends and, you know, my mom. But I can't remember any kind of trips or things like that that we did. We just used to have a lot of fun. I remember, I know that my mom had a lot of company because people used to always like to come to our house and eat. Mm-hmm. And everybody liked the way my mom cooked codfish cakes. Mm-hmm. So they'll always come there for that, and crabs, we always have crabs and things like that. She used to get live crabs, and me and my brother would be playing with them in the tub, and then they would put them in the pot and cook them, and we used to be watching that and stuff. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have, like, we just lived in like a one-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any air conditioner, nothing like that. And I always remember my mother in the house cooking in her bra. It didn't matter who was in the house. Mm-hmm. She was cooking in her bra, and those little white, like, pointy bras. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I always remember that because it was so hot, and mm-hmm. she was like, you know what, it's hot in here. It didn't matter who was there. She used to be cooking head on her bra. Mm-hmm. I was walking around in her bra and her pants, mm-hmm. you know, pants. Yeah, but yeah, that was really interesting. So, let me see. Yeah, and I remember, I think I remember some kids or some of the kids would always say, I don't know, either they like being at my house or they wish my mom was their mom. I don't know, something like that. But I haven't heard my son's friends say that about me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I remember that, you know, they just liked being over there. And I remember we were on welfare. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know until one of the children in the neighborhood told me that we was on welfare. I didn't know. So, you know, kids know everything. Mm-hmm. But I remember we used to get that big block of government cheese. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know about that either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eggs. And then this big thing of Spam in a gold container, big thing of Spam. Mm-hmm. So we ate that girl. We used to fry that Spam up, And we ate a lot of, you know, peanut butter and jelly. I remember specifically eating apple butter sandwiches. We loved apple butter.
Mm-hmm.
And egg salad. I remember eating a lot of egg salad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my mom cooked, she used to cook hog mugs and chitlins.
Mm-hmm.
That was the funkiest smell, but girl, we ate it, and potato salad, you know, and for, again, a lot of people ate that because, you know, did what you had to do, but we had the hog mugs and chitlins and potato salad and hot sauce, and we would go, me and my brother would go to the store and buy all this candy, you know, for a penny. Those days are gone, you know, penny candy. And the church, again, was like right up the street from us. And I remember one morning my mom was sick and she couldn't go. So she sent me and my brother, and we stood right on the corner the whole time and cried because we did not want to go to church without my mom. So we stood right there on the corner crying. We did, my brother, we did pretty much a lot of things together, you know. Even as we got older, you know, as we got older, we got to do something. He said, oh, Brenda, come on, go with me. I'm like, okay, you come go with me, you know, stuff like that. We always wanted to do stuff together. And even when we would have to, like, eat dinner or whatever, if he was full, he didn't want to eat his food. He said, all right, yeah, Brenda, can you eat this? All right, all right. I said, okay. I'm going to eat that, and you eat this, you know, so we like eating stuff all around. All right, I'm going to eat that, okay, you eat this, you know, things like that, because, you know, we want to eat our food, so we just like, all right, you eat part of mine, I eat part, but we still eating, you know, we're still eating, so, you know, I just remember things like that, and normally, even up to his passing, anytime my brother, you know, he would always tell me a lot of things, sometimes what he would tell other people. Because I think one thing I always liked about my brother was he was so non-judgmental. And he always, even though he had, you know, he was, you know, didn't do all the right things in life, you know. But I just know that he always... he never insulted. He never made me feel small. And that's one thing I've always, you know, liked about my brother. He always respected me, you know. But, you know, when you get older, you get involved in other things in life, you know, sometimes those things kind of take over. But I'm always, my brother always had a good heart. I knew that. And I know he admired me a lot. I do know that. Yeah, but and that's why, you know, when he got sick, he asked me, he says, Brenda, are you gonna take care of me? I'm like, yep, you know I am. And, you know, so that's what I did, you know. Yeah, so we were very, very close, you know, growing up, you know, even going to school together and everything, and so much so that one time we were out together, my brother and I, and then someone called his girlfriend and said, I saw Sterling out with this girl. He said, man, that's my sister, you know, so I still remember that, and even in junior high school, we would use the same locker, you know, just throw everything in the same locker. I remember one day it rained really hard, and we both put our wool coats in the locker together, so you can imagine what they smelled like at the end of the day. You know, I still remember that, so, but yeah, so, you know, and then when my mom passed away, he ended up living with one of my aunts, you know, one of my aunts and their family, and wasn't the best life, but, you know.
So, you know. Did all of your siblings end up separating when your mom came?
No, just, well, we all moved in with my older sister. Older sister, and I guess somehow, I guess she thought that she couldn't handle him, I don't know. But she also had three children of her own. So she was like 20-something years old, and then my mom passed away, and she ended up with six children in a two-bedroom apartment or whatever. Yeah, and I remember there were like six beds in one room. Yeah, I think it was six beds. I know it was two sets of bunk beds. And we all stayed in that room and, you know, in the projects. So, but because that's where she was living. So we all moved in with her and, you know, but I don't know, just a lot. Girl, you bringing back memories.
I'm sorry. I know this is family history. So I know sometimes it reaches deep.
It does. And I just saw my brother. He was, it was just after my mom died, he was just never happy. And he had a very difficult time. And I remember there's one song by the Jackson 5. I don't know if it's the one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It might be that one. But I just know, I think that's the one, but I know it just brings back, I think, bad memories for him because I think, you know, certain songs you hear remind you of certain times in your life. So, yeah, then I remember there's a picture of myself, me and my dad. I was graduating from, I think, like ninth grade or seventh grade or something. And he looked at, and he's a handsome boy in the picture. He said, look at the picture. He said, I was so unhappy at that time. You know, he said, I was really unhappy. But yeah, he had a hard time, and that's the one thing I regret. Well, not regret, but it makes me sad because I always wish that, you know, my brother had had, you know, like a better life. I always wish that, but I guess he's okay now. But I always wish that he could have had a better life. Yep.
I'm gonna change the question real quick. Being that you spoke about the different foods that you had in your household, were there any other dishes that you knew were definitely Baltimore cuisines or something that stuck out in particular in your household? Anything else? Because definitely gave a lot. I love that. But
I don't know if it was a cuisine, but we ate a lot of hot dogs and beans.
Okay.
We ate a lot of hot dogs and beans. I don't know if that's a Baltimore cuisine or something you just resort to. This was, with my mom, let me see. Like I said, peanut butter and jelly, egg salad, mayonnaise sandwiches. Cause my dad still eat those. He says, "You want a mayonnaise sandwich?" I said, "Dad, no. I don't think I can do that anymore." My dad still eat mayonnaise sandwiches. I said, "No, Dad, I'm okay. I'm definitely okay." Let me see, what else? I mean, we had a lot of milk and cereal. You know, a lot of cereal, and I know my mom always sat at the table and drank a cup of coffee, and I would drink coffee only because she was drinking it. But I also know, like if we weren't feeling well or couldn't sleep or whatever, she always gave us a cup of warm milk, and it was carnation milk, that milk in the can, and it always had canned carnation milk, always had that. Yeah, so that, and, you know, with sugar, of course, so that was always good. So I remember that, and what else? You know, my mom would fry fish, you know, a lot. Trying to think what else.
Where did y'all get y'all fish from? Did y'all go fishing? Did you get some fish market?
No, she just got it from the market. I'm trying to think where. I can't remember where. But I know, I remember, you know, I know it probably did, maybe it could have been Lushington Market, because I remember times we were downtown together, me and my mom, and there was a store down there called The Mart, M-A-R-T, and I just saw a whole bunch of cheap stuff, and I remember I had on, I was with my dad, my mom and dad were together, we happened to be with my dad that day. And I was so excited because I was like with my mother and my father, you know, I just thought I was like on top of the world, you know, and we went in the mart. I remember I had on a gold turtleneck. I thought I was so cute. And I saw some earrings, just a pair of gold hoops. They were like 69 cents. I still remember that. Mm-hmm. And I remember having my gold turtle neck and my gold earrings. And I just thought I was the cutest thing walking. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, Benji, you know, I only wear gold earrings. Mm-hmm. I always wear my gold earrings, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I like other earrings as well, but I just love gold. But now I wear real gold earrings. Mm-hmm. But I love gold earrings. But I remember that day so vividly. Wow. In the mart, and I remember she bought me this little outfit. I think a pair of shoes and a white top, and I was ironing the white top, and I left the iron on too long, and I burned it. I was so upset. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, "Give it here, give it here," and she threw it in the wash machine. Mm-hmm. And everything came out.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness. So, and she did that right away. Mm-hmm. And everything came out. So I'm like, okay, I was like really happy. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had one of those old wash machines where you put the clothes through the wringer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had one of those old, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the clothes through the wringer. So, and I remember her teaching me how to, how to sew, like hand sew, like how to hem, mm-hmm. how to fix zippers, how to sew on buttons and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always felt it strange, even now, that these young girls can't even hem or mm-hmm. can't sew on a button. I'm like, really? But mm-hmm. I guess, you know, and then we had home economics. I learned things in home economics, too. Mm-hmm. But they don't do too much of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But just little things like that. I was really excited about that. So I admired my mom, a lot. I admired her a lot. And I know she was under a lot of stress and depression. I do know that, when you look back at stuff, mm-hmm. I remember, she got really depressed at one time, had to be hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back, you see that they had a hard life. But when you're a kid, you don't really see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But as far as other cuisines, I'm sorry, I got off track. Other mm-hmm. cuisines, I can't really think of, I remember, well, it's not a cuisine again, but I remember that Jiffy Pop popcorn, the kind mm-hmm. you put on the stove mm-hmm. and that big thing bubble up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. So just, just a lot of things. I don't know if you remember, they were called 8-track tapes,
mm-hmm.
them big square things, mm-hmm. And I remember, not the VCR, but those mm-hmm. other big 8-track things, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I might still have one downstairs in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I was going to save it. I might be down there somewhere. But I remember I went to see a play. I took Timba, the Jackie Wilson story. It was a good play.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he put an 8-track in, and Timba said, "Mom, what is that? What's an 8-track?" I thought that was so funny. He said, "Mom, what is that?" So, but just things like that. But then it kind of makes you, even talking about this, it kind of makes you miss, I guess, what they call the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, they were struggling. But for us, it was the good old days,
Mm-hmm.
And, you knew everybody in your neighborhood, and, you running up and down the street, and you knew your neighbors and stuff like that, and people across the street. But,
mm-hmm.
It's different. And in some ways, it's different. But I guess, it depends. Some people still know all of their neighbors.
Did you have any neighborhood events or annual events that you would attend?
Yeah, we had like what they call a clean block event. So every summer,
mm-hmm.
we would compete all the neighborhoods all around the city to see who had the best clean block.
Mm-hmm.
And they would post it in the Afro,
mm-hmm.
the clean block campaign or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would make sure that, we got all the paper up, and every Saturday morning, people were outside scrubbing their steps, because we had those, marble kind of steps, so people always scrubbed their steps, and then we had big tires, and we painted them and put flowers in them. That was a lot of fun, and then Sometimes we have like block parties. I remember that, like, you know, come out and dance. They had music and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was this organization called Operation Champ. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of them before. And they had a beauty pageant. And Venture, why did I win the beauty pageant? Don't ask me how, but why did I win the beauty pageant? And my next door neighbor, oh, she was so mad at me, and I just saw some of those pictures just the other day. But that stuff didn't even faze me. It really didn't faze me. But I won the beauty pageant. But that was interesting. I remember I had on this pink bathing suit, and then a white pantsuit. Yeah, but that was interesting. So that was, you know, one event we had. But we had a lot of block parties and things like that, and clean neighborhood parties and everything. And they would, like I said, put it in the afro. The afro used to be thick back then. It's thin now. But it was a lot of stuff. Everything went in the afro. Mm-hmm. And it was cheap, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was cheap. Yeah. Yeah, so what other neighborhood events? But I remember also, and this was in this neighborhood where I am now. It was after my mom passed, and we moved in with my older sister on Argyle Avenue, the projects there. And like I said, I live on Argyle Avenue now as well. Mm-hmm. And every year, there was this preacher / holy man, Daddy Grace or Father mm-hmm. Divine, one of the two. I'm mm-hmm. trying to think. It was Daddy Grace. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, Bintu, everybody came out, all the ladies, and they used to get holy water, and all the church ladies dressed in white, and they shouting, and Daddy Grace would be waving at people, and it was a big thing. I really understand it mm-hmm. that well, but I went to see it and everything, and mm-hmm. actually it was right here where I live now. Mm-hmm. It was right here in this area where I am now that everything is torn down, it's a new development here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the exact location. I think my niece might know, but it was I think it was right here where I am now. That's where Daddy Grace used to come every year, and I remember my neighbors and, you know, all the old ladies and everything. They would come down and get blessed by Father, Daddy Grace, and get their containers of holy water and stuff like that. They used to be playing, you know, the music and the tambourines and, you know, the shouting, and all the church ladies had on all white, you know, their white uniforms and their white shoes and their little white hats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I remember that. Now you make me want to go ask Miss Betty. She's one of my neighbors, but mm-hmm. I think she has Alzheimer's now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she will remember. Mm-hmm. But now you got me thinking now, Bintu. This is, I don't know what's going on, mm-hmm. but this is strange. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to picture myself coming down. I really think it was right on this corner where I am now. I really think that's the area where it was. I gotta call my niece, because now I'm curious. Okay. Because, you know, when they tear everything down and they build new stuff, you kind of lose your bearings.
And you're on Argyle and what? Huh? What's your cross street? Argyle and what?
I'm at Argyle, and now it's called McCullough Circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's right off of Pennsylvania Avenue. Mm-hmm. I think right where I am, that's where they used to have this stuff. Because I know the projects, the McCullough homes where I used to live, the mm-hmm. low rise, mm-hmm. I remember leaving out of my house and coming down the street. Yeah, I think it's right here where I am now. Wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So you said y'all didn't have a car when you were young. Are there any transportation systems that you had when you were younger that are not around anymore now?
No, we caught the bus. We caught the bus, those big big green buses. And girl, you sit in the back. It was hot as all the world, because that's where the motor was. Mm-hmm. girls should be burning up in the back of the bus, you know, mm-hmm. but all the, you know, all the teens wanted to sit in the back of the bus, you know, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. But it was hot back there, and big green buses.
Mm-hmm.
We caught the bus. I remember getting the number 5, the number 7, and then if you're going to get from one bus to another bus, they give you a transfer, mm-hmm. this little piece of paper where you transfer from one bus to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. And then we used to ride roller skates a lot,
mm-hmm.
and the boys used to always put on their roller skate ball burn number 5s and hang on the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous thing. They used to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My brother, too.
Mm-hmm. And, oh my God, so what might you think were some of the contributing factors to Baltimore's blight, especially in the late 60s, coming into the early 70s?
Well, I think, of course, in the 60s, you know, that was during the civil rights era.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Martin Luther King died, and I didn't really know much about him because I don't really remember growing up being, like, real immersed in, like, Black history and, you know, Black heritage and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he died, everybody was crying. I asked my aunt, I said, why they call him King? I said, was he a king?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, no, Brenda, he wasn't a king. I remember she kind of snapped at me.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to answer questions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really know who Martin Luther King was, but I remember when he died, he was on TV, whatever, I asked about him,
mm-hmm.
I think it was when he passed away, and I thought he was a king,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember, I know Blacks were being treated bad, but I just know I was always in my neighborhood, and in my home or at my school or whatever, and that was the extent of what I saw. But I know now that my parents experienced a lot of, you know, racism and discrimination and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when you talk about what contributed to the blight that we have today,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the same now as with yesterday. It's a tremendous amount of racism, and you know, white folks will always move themselves in neighborhoods where they think they can benefit, and then they find all kind of ways to maneuver to push Black folks out. And it's the same thing that's been happening since way back when. I think it's really that, or Black people feeling, you know, deprived or depressed, and, you know, can't find jobs and can't go to good schools and things like that. And I just think that many Blacks, some, not all, but some probably didn't have that sense of pride or even confidence in themselves, or people didn't have good jobs. I know my mom didn't have a good job, but she didn't have much education either,
mm-hmm.
from what I remember. But I think it's just this whole idea of racism and just white folks continuously pushing Blacks down, or dehumanizing Blacks, and sometimes Blacks didn't have any recourse. You know, that they knew of. I can't recall any Black solidarity sessions per se, you know, or gatherings or per se. I can't remember any, like, you know, I'm Black and I'm proud gatherings, you know, things like that. I don't remember any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was, I guess I just, you know, didn't know because mm-hmm. I was, you know, young. But yeah, I think, as far as, I don't know, when we look at this Baltimore blight, I think it's, again, our elected officials who we vote for. And, of course, they say anything to have you vote for them. But really, no one has ever really been in our favor,
mm-hmm.
except us. And now you see that today, if you watch the news, there's an attack on Black officials because they're saying that they have not carried out their duties properly. Mm-hmm. And I think that with Baltimore City, when you look at, you know, of course, you know, Kathy Pugh, Sheila Dixon, now they're on Joan Pratt, for, you know, whatever. There was another one, not so long ago, Jackie McLean. I don't think you know her. I don't think you would know her, but this is a long time ago. I think she was a city controller. Mm-hmm. She ended up going to jail, I guess, for stealing money or something like that, but she died of, I think, cancer. But this was a big story out a long time ago. And, but they're now this thing in the news, it's like Black officials, don't know how to manage the money, or they steal, or they're this, or they're that. And it's not that other officials haven't done that, but there's an attack, I think, it seems like, on Black officials. And now people are saying that, you know, they want white folks to take over Baltimore City because they want Baltimore City. If you look at, you know, Fells Point and other areas, down there near the harbor and the waterfront, all that stuff is fixed up, and it's for white people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beautiful down there. South Baltimore, you know, Blacks used to live in South Baltimore. My aunt had a house. We had a house in South Baltimore after we moved. My aunt still lived in that house after we moved out, and they ended up buying that house off of her, mm-hmm. and she ended up on some apartment on Calvert Street, you know, before she passed away. Well, I mean, then she moved in with my other aunts, but then, you know, but that was her, one of her houses, a place where they moved her to. They, I guess, paid her off or whatever. And now they, you know, have the house in the area. You know, they have all of that. But Blacks lived in those areas in South Baltimore. But now it's a different kind of South Baltimore now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they continuously push Blacks out of areas. Even where I live now, I get notices all the time. Excuse me. I'm choking on a piece of on a cracker.
Yeah, are you getting water?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, and they I'm always getting things in my mailbox to ask if I want to sell my house. And my question to them is, okay, if I sell my house, where am I supposed to live? Mm-hmm. You know? I'm like, you know, sell your house, you know? So because, you know, people want certain areas and they try to push other people out, mm-hmm. or they try to entice you, you know, with money. Some people may think it's a lot when it really it isn't. Mm-hmm. You know? So and some people fall for it and some people don't. But we get that around here all the time. Mm-hmm.
Quick question. Have you ever heard of a woman named Peggy Jackson?
Name who?
Peggy Jackson.
Peggy?
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Okay. She's one of the people who I had the pleasure of interviewing, but at the same time, she's been a teacher at a few of the schools in the area, including either a teacher or counselor or vice principal, one of them, another, at Douglas. Uh-huh. And has served on a couple of boards, so I'm wondering where some of my interviewees, if your timelines and lives have crossed paths, because I'm seeming to and unplannedly talk to other teachers and educators and people of service. So what got you into teaching?
I don't know. I think when I went to I went to Morgan, mm-hmm. and I graduated from Morgan, and then after I left there, I went to school in New York. Mm-hmm. I went to Cornell. Mm-hmm. It's funny, they just mentioned Cornell on TV. Mm-hmm. I went to Cornell, and after that, after Cornell, I did an internship in Ghana with the State Department. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, my sister sent me a letter. She called me or something and said, Brand, Dr. Phillips called you. They want you to come to Morgan and teach, mm-hmm. you know, because one professor was going on sabbatical, so they needed someone to take her place or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, well, no, I don't really want to teach. I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And that was when, at the time, when I was with the Memory of African Culture and, mm-hmm. hanging out with your mom and dad and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I got back from Ghana, because, again, I was working there briefly at the American Embassy, my sister came to get me from the airport. She says, Bren, Dr. Phyllis wants you to call him. So I called him, and they asked me if I would come to Baltimore to teach at Morgan. I was living in D.C. then. Mm-hmm. And I guess I eventually decided to do it. Mm-hmm. I was moving back to Baltimore, but then I got pregnant, so I moved back to Baltimore. I was already in Baltimore, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I got pregnant. But anyway, I said, okay, I'll do it, And they wanted me to come there and teach for one semester. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And then too, that one semester turned into 26 years. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got my job teaching at Morgan State.
Wow.
And I taught there for 26 years. The year that I started, I think that's when I got pregnant with Temba, mm-hmm. with my son. And, so I taught through my whole pregnancy. And after I had Temba, I took him to school with me, and I nursed him in my office in between classes and things like that, because I didn't have a babysitter. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a really good schedule where I would work only 2 days a week. So that was really good. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that. And and that's really how I started teaching. I hadn't planned to teach. I didn't know what I was gonna do really. Mm-hmm. But and that's how I ended up teaching college for 26 years.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But they called me to take Dr. Walker's place, and she says passed, but they called me to take her place for that semester while she went on sabbatical. And then every year they renewed my, my contract, and then I became a permanent employee, and that's how I got to work in there. I thought that was really interesting, but it was a good run. It really was. It was a good run,
Yeah.
It really was, and after 26 years, it was enough, It was time.
Okay.
It was definitely time.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave us with in recognizing Beauty Beneath the Blight, in recognizing Baltimore culture, or even Baltimore life between the 1930s and late 1960s? Anything from this experience sharing that you would like to leave us with?
From the 1930s to 1960s?
Well, anything between the content of the project, which is to kind of capture the experiences between that time period, anything from your experience sharing with me today? Is there any closing notes that you would like to leave us with?
I don't know. I remember there was a time been too where anywhere I wanted to go in Baltimore, I would walk. I used to walk everywhere. When I say everywhere, I used to walk everywhere. Now today, I don't even know if I feel comfortable walking to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore is so different. I remember my brother saying, before he passed, he says, I never thought Baltimore would get this bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't either. But I remember... growing up, I always felt safe in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt safe. And I kind of lament the fact that I don't feel that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it was like that. And I don't know if it could just be me as I've gotten older. I've gotten, maybe I've lost, some type of security that I always thought I had. I don't know, but because things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've gotten more fearful. I'm always hoping that that's not the case, but I don't feel as comfortable and as safe in Baltimore as I had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I I think it's because, I guess growing up, I know that there was crime, but I've never seen this kind of crime. I've never, well, I guess none of us have, seen it where every day somebody's getting killed. You know, people just didn't kill each other all the time, day in and day out, every weekend, every weekend. And even though there were people who got in trouble and stuff like that, but I don't remember the crime as it was then. But I guess maybe back then, others probably would have said, oh, it's really bad. It wasn't like this when I was growing up. Because like they say, every generation is always, you know, worse than the one that preceded it. You know, they always, you know, people say that. So I guess it depends on, you know, your comfort level, your security level. Yeah, and I guess I felt protected, you know, by my family. So now that, you know, I have a family, it feels like, you know, I have to be their quote-unquote protector. And sometimes that's kind of scary, you know, because now, you know, you have to make sure that things are okay. And sometimes you feel that you need someone to take care of you, and you have to take care of other people yourself, you know? So it's really interesting, you know, but you just, things change, you know, as you grow older. But I've always thought of Baltimore as a good place. I've never thought, some people get up and move to other places. I never thought about just getting up and moving to, you know, to another place. I've never thought that. I like to travel, you know that. But I always say I'm coming back home, you know? And also because I know, you know, my dad is here, so I wouldn't dare move anywhere else because my dad is here. So, yeah, but I think overall it's a good place. I've seen a lot of changes, lots and lots and lots of changes. But you know, you have to change. You know, there's always change. You have to change, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mama Brenda.
You are very welcome. I hope I answered your questions.
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to close out by saying thanks to Miss Brenda Brown here on this Monday, April 6th, 2020. The time is now 7:28, going on 7:30 by the time I finish these announcements. This is for the project Beauty Beneath the Blight, a project of Urban Arts Leadership, a program of Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance, directed by Kabibia Janku, the Director of Inclusion and Equity for Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance. This is a project that is being sponsored by a grant of the National Endowment for the Arts, and in partnership with Library of Congress and the Smithsonian Center for Folk Life and Cultural Heritage. And thank you so much for letting us share with you and sharing with us. And that concludes this interview.
And I thank you for including me. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. Brought back a lot of memories.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.